At the buzzer, Nora bolted from the bronze mat and grabbed a towel. Sweating was not something she particularly enjoyed, and she wiped herself with a vengeance. She was wearing a very small red bikini, one that looked great on the young slinky model in the catalog, one she knew she'd never wear in public, but Luther had insisted on anyway. He'd gawked at the model and threatened to order the thing himself. It wasn't too expensive, so Nora now owned it. She glanced in the mirror and again blushed at the sight of herself in such a skimpy garment. Sure, she was losing weight. Sure, she was getting a tan, but it would take 5 years of starvation and hard labor in the gym to do justice to what she was wearing at that moment. She dressed quickly, pulling her slacks and sweater on over the bikini. Luther swore he tanned in the nude, but she wasn't stripping for anyone. Even dressed, she still felt like a slut. The thing was tight in all the wrong places, and when she walked, well, it wasn't exactly comfortable. She couldn't wait to race home, take it off, throw it away, and enjoy a long, hot bath. She'd made it safely out of Tans Forever and rounded a corner when she came face to face with the Reverend Doug Zabriskie, their minister. He was laden with shopping bags, while she held nothing but her overcoat. He was pale. She was red-faced and still sweating. He was comfortable in his old tweed jacket, overcoat, collar, black shirt. Nora's bikini was cutting off her circulation and shrinking by the moment. They hugged politely. "Missed you last Sunday," he said, the same irritating habit he'd picked up years ago. "We're so busy," she said, checking her forehead for sweat. "Are you okay, Nora?" "Fine," she snapped. "You look a little winded." "A lot of walking," she said, lying to her minister. For some reason, he glanced down at her shoes. She certainly wasn't wearing sneakers. "Could we chat for a moment?" he asked. "Well, sure," she said. There was an empty bench near the railing of the concourse. The Reverend lugged his bags over and piled them beside it. When Nora sat, Luther's little red bikini shifted again and something gave way, a strap perhaps, just above her hip, and something was sliding down there. Her slacks were loose, not tight at all, and there was plenty of room for movement. "I've heard lots of rumors," he began softly. He had the annoying habit of getting close to your face when he spoke. Nora crossed and recrossed her legs and with each maneuver made things worse.
"What kind of rumors?" she asked stiffly.
"Well, I'll be very honest, Nora," he said, leaning even lower and closer. "I hear it from a good source that you and Luther have decided not to observe Christmas this year."
"Sort of, yes."
"I've never heard of this," he said gravely, as if the cranks had discovered a new variety of sin. She was suddenly afraid to move, and even then got the impression that she was still falling out of her clothes. Fresh beads of sweat popped up along her forehead.
"Are you okay, Nora?" he asked. "I'm fine, and we're fine. We still believe in Christmas, in celebrating the birth of Christ. We're just passing on all the foolishness this year. Blair's gone, and we're taking a break."
He pondered this long and hard while she shifted slightly. "It is a bit crazy, isn't it?" he said, looking at the pile of shopping bags he had deposited nearby.
"Yes, it is. Look, we're fine, Doug. I promise. We're happy and healthy and just relaxing a bit, that's all."
"I hear you're leaving."
"Yes, for 10 days on a cruise."
He stroked his beard as though he wasn't sure if he approved of this or not. "You won't miss the midnight service, will you?" he asked with a smile.
"No promises, Doug."
He patted her knee and said goodbye. She waited until he was out of sight and then finally mustered the courage to get to her feet. She shuffled out of the mall, cursing Luther and his bikini. Vic Frohmeyer's wife's cousin's youngest daughter was active in her Catholic church, which had a large youth choir that enjoyed caroling around the city. A couple of phone calls and the gig was booked. A light snow was falling when the concert began. The choir formed a half moon in the driveway near the gas lamp, and on cue started bawling, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." They waved at Luther when he peeked through the blinds. A crowd soon gathered behind the carolers, kids from the neighborhood, the Beckers from next door, the Trogdon clan. There, by virtue of an anonymous tip, a reporter for the Gazette watched for a few minutes, then asserted himself and rang the crank's doorbell. Luther yanked the door open, ready to land a punch.
"What is it?"
White Christmas resounded in the background.
"Are you Mr. Crank?" asked the reporter.
"Yes, and who are you?"
"Brian Brown with the Gazette. Can I ask you some questions?"
"About what?"
About this skipping Christmas business.
Luther gazed at the crowd in his driveway. One of those dark silhouettes out there had squealed on him. One of his neighbors had called the newspaper, either Frohmeyer or Walt Scheel.
"I'm not talking," he said, and slammed the door.
Nora was in the shower again, and Luther went to the basement.